I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Better Call Saul fans, we had a hell of an episode this week, 50% off. I'm Ryan Nilsson, host of Better Call Saul After Show. We have an amazing Justice team here to break down Season 5, Episode 2, Better Call Saul. To my far left, she's a Jesse Pinkman stan, massive fan of Breaking Bad. She binged this show. She is Gabriella Castaneda.
Hey guys, what's up?
Woo-woo. How you doing, Gabby?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to talk about this episode.
Oh, well, we're really excited to have you here. And to her right, my left, it's Lauren Klain.
Hello, everybody.
Lauren had a lot of experience with the season one of Breaking Bad in the production side. You worked for the company, right?
No, I worked for a company that rented the cameras so I would get to clean all the cables, all the New Mexican dust off the, and the fake blood.
The dust.
Yeah, and the blood and dust.
Blood and dust blood and sand. Dust. And finally, he's from Philly. He's an actor and a massive fan of Lalo. He is Sean McHugh.
What up, AfterBuzz? And I might be making the case that I want to see a Skyler Lalo get together. Something I don't know.
Skyler?
Yes, I know. I'm bringing it all together.
That would be wild.
Ooh, indeed. I object.
And speaking of object, just teasing later in the show, we're going to break down some news and gossip, and we're going to do a buy and sell segment where we object or sustain certain aspects of the show, so stay tuned for that. Today, there's a lot to break down. I love the Law and Order sound effect. That was perfect. Today, we're going to be breaking down just Nacho being threatened up top. Jimmy and Kim, is their relationship 50% off, Lauren? Said that earlier. I thought it was clever. Also, Jimmy just wants 20 minutes. He just wants 20 minutes to figure out his life, figure out all these different cases, and he got that 20 minutes, as well as that epic drug heist slash save slash prevention. We have a lot to break down. Right up top, overall thoughts. Let's start with Sean McHugh.
Again, another great episode. You know, the fact that we started with this weird tripping thing, like, I was like, oh my God, where are we right now? Like, I felt like we were like an MTV camera, too. Like, this, like, bizarre almost music video that was just, everything was fast forwarded. And it was such a great way to start the episode. And then, of course, the chanting of 50% off. Like, that, how hilarious was that?
50%
so good.
Off,
so good.
Yeah. Lauren.
You know, I'm still feeling the feels of postseason, you know, season four. I'm missing that whole storyline. I'm missing the actors, Michael McKean from the last season. So it's kind of like I'm into the season for sure, but I'm still like, wait, where are the other guys? Okay. But I'm totally on board all of the production work, the cinematography, the editing. It just brings me into every episode. I want more.
Gabby.
There was so much more action, I feel like, going on this episode. I feel like it's only the second episode of the season, and we're already seeing so much of the dark side of, you know, the Breaking Bad world and the Better Call Saul world. So I'm excited.
And not to peek too far behind the curtain, but we tried to watch this the night it came out, and we were just having a bit of some internet issues. It was skipping the storyline. Now, having actually seen the whole thing through, I'm so happy we did that.
Yes.
Because there were some key details and elements we were going to miss. So, sorry we're a few days late on this one, but we are going to be on time for the rest. Going into the first thing, Nacho being threatened up top. There's guys in his house. I think he was sleeping with someone and is immediately just dragged into a car and they're threatening his father.
Well, I love first of all that, like, Nacho has this, like, swanky bachelor pad with, like, two girlfriends, we're gonna say, maybe.
He's a bachelor.
Yeah, so it's like he's literally laying there, like, you know, with his shirt off, like with a silk sheet, and then it's
chilling.
Like, and then it's like, we're going to bed really quick. You know, so that was just, I mean, it's obviously we're worried about Nacho, but that was, I thought, a really funny way to do it too, like to show this side of Nacho, that because he's always like very kind of calm, cool, collected, and then he's just like lounging in silk sheets. So that was funny to me.
He's like a Playboy gangster.
Yeah,
and a gun right at the bedside table. reaching for it, Lauren. Overall,
it's amazing. You know, he's in the back of the car watching his father in the background, and then who comes in? Gus sits down, and Gus's energy is always one of very calm, very cool,
which is the scariest part.
which is why I think he's one of the best characters. characters I've seen on a TV show in a long time. And so it kind of settles Nacho down as well. He says, this is what you need to do. And Nacho's like, I'll do it.
Yeah, he's like, I get it. Okay, what do I need to do?
Yeah.
And I'm willing to do anything. It's so scary. When I saw that the hitman or the partner that works with them, I'm not sure of his name, but goes in to go take care of the dad, my heart was racing so fast. I was like, no. And I calmed down a little bit when I saw Gus, but he still scares me. When he turned the mirror, like you said, it just...
The mirror turn!
Is the
guys,
scariest part.
Adjusting a rearview mirror,
yeah.
The most terrifying thing this episode. Just his stare and everything. You can't even see his mouth while he's talking. Oh my gosh.
Just the eyes.
It's a classic Gus.
Well, that goes just back to what you were saying in the beginning of, like, the cinematography, right? Oh. Like, what a brilliant choice to literally just have his eyes in the rearview mirror. And then, like, that's it. We're just terrified of the devil's eyes, right? Like,
right.
So good.
And he gives him that task, which is he wants to get Lalo's trust. Like, whatever you gotta do.
Yeah.
Just gotta get in there.
And I love it. How do you want me to do that? Figure it out.
Okay.
Are we gonna talk about that later on, like, as the episode goes on? Because you see that that does eventually happen.
It does eventually happen. Yeah. And, let's break that down. We'll save that for a little later. But, it's kind of like an impossible task at the moment. You're the Lalo, not hater, but you think he's even more terrifying than Gus,
yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, he creeps me out.
Yeah, I mean, the unpredictability of him is more of like a playful unpredictability, which is almost more terrifying than Gus.
That's why.
Because you're almost expecting unpredictability from Gus.
Yeah.
Whereas Lalo will like have a drink with you and then slit your throat. Like, it'll feed.
Yeah, that's what I feel like.
It's just, it's wild.
We see that at the card game.
That's right!
I mean, like, you're just like, okay, we're just having a good card game, and then all of a sudden, it gets real, and I love that, like, he's like, he calls him Ocho Loco, Crazy Eight.
Yeah.
Because he totally calls his bluff, and of course, I'm sorry, I'm not being very articulate right now, but he literally flips from, like, it's a nice card game, to, I'm going to kill you, to, no, we're back to the card game again.
Yeah.
In, like, 30 seconds.
Totally. And it's he was bluffing, too.
Of course.
2 and a 7. That's notoriously the worst hand in poker, by the way. 2 and a 7 is honestly, like, proven the worst hand you could possibly have, which is wild. And the guy had a 3 of a kind. Yeah. It just says so much about both their characters. And that, in any other show, that would be, like, kind of over the top. But it still felt subtle, and it still felt very nuanced with all that. Any final points on this whole, like, threatened storyline?
No, I want to get to the part where we
get to that, Lauren, can you get to why our viewers should like this video?
Why this video? Yes.
Tell them about AfterBuzz.
Oh, thank you. Just wanted to. All right. I object. No, I sustain. We want to thank you, our fans, for watching AfterBuzz TV. We are the ESPN of TV talk. And when you're doing that, we want to engage with you. We want you to send us questions. Let us know your thoughts about the show, about what we're getting right and what we get wrong sometimes. Yes, it happens when we accidentally call
it's
a character.
It's Nebraska. Not Alaska.
Yeah. Yeah. Apologize.
They rhyme, though. But we want to thank you for pointing that out, because we are fans, and that's what makes it so fun, is having fun with you guys. And when we mess up, you letting us know in the coolest but nicest way possible. Don't be Lalo and tell us we screwed up. Be Fring and tell us we screwed up in a nice, calm way.
Wow. I still
hashtag
know that's good.
Be Fring.
Oh, I love that.
So do us a favor. Listen to us on iTunes and your podcast. Give us 5 stars on the comment section for these YouTube videos. Let us know your thoughts. We'll look at them, even if it's a past episode, and talk about those. I love doing this because I get to talk about these shows, and it is so much fun to hang out with you guys and get to do what I used to do, talk about TV shows that came out once a week.
It's a blast. Mm,
yes. It's a blast. So thank you very much for staying with us.
And it's free. Not only 50% off, it's free. Speaking of 50% off, though, at the end of the last episode, the first one of the season, Saul was just giving out, like, meetings, phone calls, 50% off. And like you said, we have that whole opening sequence, MTV style. Them crashing into chairs. And we got the garden gnome, by the way, at the end there.
Yes.
Really cool detail. And then, it's Jimmy and Kim. We're going into Jimmy and Kim now. Lauren was making a ton of amazing points off camera. And he was saying that, you know, 50% off, we basically had 50% of Jimmy this episode and then maybe even 50% of Saul. I feel like him giving out those cards was super Saul. But then visiting the house with Kim was more of him trying to get, I think, Kim back. Could you just speak a little bit more on that like you were earlier?
Yeah, we kind of all talked about their relationship, about Kim and Jimmy, and how it kind of isn't where it used to be. But even previous season, it always seemed like he was always pulling Kim back from the edge, from the cliff of her just wanting to go on with her life, but there was always something that brought her back. The house was another one. But I feel like they're kind of checking out. 50%, their relationship is maybe 50%. We had the, you know, the drug dealing situation, 50%. We've got 50% Jimmy, and we have 50% Saul. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's such an interesting point. And, I mean, Gabby, you were even speaking of this earlier. Everything at the house, it felt like Jimmy was really leading that, and Kim was just giving these one-word answers. Yeah. Thoughts on their relationship.
Even in the beginning of the episode, when he's like, oh, maybe dinner and a movie tonight, and she's like, yeah, I'm going to stay late. And then I think he realizes while he's on the phone with clients, I'm losing her. I need to maybe focus more on her and not be Saul around her. And so then he runs out to the car, and that's when they go to the house, and then you hear in the closet, I'm not sure his exact words, but he's like, it's both of our dream closets, you know? And she's like, yeah, sure. Like, just kind of blows it off. Like, it's not going to be maybe theirs, or maybe it's not in their future. I don't know. And then I also see her getting excited about the house, too. So I think she's torn, just like he's torn about both sides of him.
Yeah, that's all very, I love that. And then, it's funny, like, literally Jimmy's trying to play house here, right? Like, he brings her to a house and wants to play house. But Kim is not really having it. You know, it's like those moments, like, I love that they pay off that closet moment, right, where she's like trying to fit her stuff in, and then we go to this dream closet, right? Like, the writing is so good there.
Wow.
And you know, so it's just very interesting, because Jimmy's all in on Kim right now, but obviously we see that Kim is, it's weird, she'll have moments where, oh yeah, I mean, obviously that nice scene in the shower, right, where she sprays him, and it's like, oh yeah, this is the fun.
That was cute.
This is what I love. And then as soon as they get back to the car, it's like, okay, that was nice. Maybe one day.
It's just a pipe dream, literally.
Yeah.
The pipes and the water. Anyway, it's interesting, and that's like the majority of Kim that we get this episode. This episode was a little light on Kim. But not late on Jimmy.
Much to your dismay, I'm sure.
No, I think super she's fan. The best. Super fan. But we do get a lot of Jimmy and Saul, and I just love every sequence, every montage in this show is great. And the one shot of him going around just interacting with all these other lawyers, making all these deals, just in the hallway.
Sure.
Yeah.
It felt like high school, like in between classes. Yeah. And you're saying hi to all your friends.
Oh, that's a great, I love that. That's perfect.
Didn't
that's
it
a
kinda
perfect
feel like that?
That's a perfect analogy, yeah.
And he just wants 20 minutes with that other lawyer to settle all these cases I guess they have going up against each other. And then we get that incredible elevator scene. Thoughts on the elevator scene, Gabby?
Instantly, when the elevator broke down and they're both in there, I'm like, okay, yeah, it's definitely him. And then you see him pay off the janitor. I'm like, yes, I knew it.
And
I
what
knew
was it?
Him.
It was something like, my brother's going to be a clean record or...
Yeah, something, a deal with him or something like that. But it was hilarious. I was like, of course they're handling 95% of the cases and they only have a couple left, you know. See you later. See you, we'll handle them then. It's funny.
Cool. Yeah, and and I like the actress that plays the other lawyer. She does a really good job of, like, just being dismissive of, like, I know your games. Yeah. I know exactly what you're doing. And then, of course, gets bamboozled anyway. Yeah. You know, so...
Because how can you think that he would do that? That he would stoop to that level to stop the elevator? That's terrifying.
Yeah, he trapped
her. I'd be scared.
Yeah. He trapped her, and he didn't even need to beg for it. He just kind of annoyed her.
He made his own meeting. He created a meeting
place.
That
was amazing. It's almost like a Jekyll and Hyde situation between Jimmy and Saul.
It's a great comparison. Wow.
But I wonder who is whom, or whom is whom.
Right.
I hope that's not another Alaska-Nebraska thing. Who versus whom.
Well, that's interesting. I know. If you compare that to Breaking Bad with, like, Heisenberg and just Walter White, you know, it's a similar Jekyll and Hyde, but also felt like a transition It felt more like a Bruce Wayne Batman. Like, he is actually Batman, and maybe even the disguise is Bruce Wayne with Walter White and Heisenberg. And this, it feels literally like he has two personalities as of right now.
And you maybe can see the turning points.
Totally.
Yeah, you know the difference. You're like, oh, Walter's not here anymore. Like, he's gone. He's way too far into the game. And now Saul, he's starting to hit that. Like, you see right in the middle of the episode, he's Saul for the rest of the episode. Like, you guys, like you said, it was divided into two, like Saul and Jimmy.
Yeah. Did you think that elevator was a turning point? Because for me, I felt like just him having that idea, like, I'm going to trap her in an elevator and we're going to just figure it out. And it was 20 minutes exact, as he said.
Yeah.
I really do think that that was just like a classic Saw moment. Like, that's something Jimmy wouldn't do, but Saul would.
Well, I think that elevator is a microcosm of Saul, meaning that, like, he loves to make a deal. Mm. He loves to do a weird thing to make things happen, right? And the reality is, so do we. We love when he does that.
Oh, we do. Yeah.
Right? Like, he sucks us in like he sucks Kim in. And, you know, so I think that elevator scene is like the ultimate example of this is why we love this guy. Because the way he does it, the way he goes around a corner, you know, to make things happen, it's just...
He's smooth.
Yeah.
And you think it's not as... Like, I always like to compare this to Breaking Bad a little bit because it's, you know, sure, same creator, same world. I think we always thought of Saul as, oh, he's nowhere near Walter White. It's a different type of, it's just different. I mean, he's casually throwing out like jail sentences here. Like,
yeah,
are you like 12 months on this? 16. Like, that's 4 months of someone's life. And he's like, fine, like 2 seconds. Casual. I know that's lawyers in a microcosm, but this was like an elevator meeting, and they're just—it's like trading cards. Wow. It felt like baseball trading.
He's
cards.
Not there to get those people completely off of whatever their crime was. He's just bringing it down. That's the magic, is having 50% success with each client rather than 0%.
Wow.
So,
and wow. Also, bringing it back.
Yeah.
Love it.
He also, there's another DA, the bald guy, who we can see now in this season just been beat down.
Yeah. So, he is the punching bag of this season.
Right. Because he's kind of where, is it, for some reason, the blonde in the elevator, I thought her name was Susan,
I think
maybe?
It is Susan.
So Saul is working on Susan. He's already worked on the other guy.
Yeah.
As we saw in previous seasons.
He didn't even need to do anything. Like, he just went to that meeting and he comes out, I think, after he talks to five other people, and he goes, you have witnesses?
Yeah. He's kind of just done for. So you can see the before and the during and afters of Saul's work.
It's like the victims of his work.
Yes.
You know, they don't have the physical scars, but it's there. I thought the funniest one, if you listen to some of the cases, like, you just get little details. I thought they were hilarious. Like, one of them was it was like someone's dog bit the other. He's like, yeah, well, he provoked the dog. Yeah. Like, he just has a backup plan for all of these.
Right. Yeah, he always has an answer to whatever they're going
to
say.
To everything. Always
it was
answer.
A real knife, but the blood was fake.
Blood was fake. The blood was fake, people. God, it's so funny and so good.
What did you guys think about when Howard approached him for a lunch meeting?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that was a nice little kind of just... They just kind of snuck that in there, right?
And yeah. It's a great point. That was when I saw Saul. Like, he's completely Saul now, because Jimmy would have killed for a job at that firm before, or would have taken a lunch meeting with him. You know, he doesn't like him, but Howard. But he knew that that was a way to get his job, you know, with his brother. And now Saul is like, no, maybe if I'm not busy, I'll take a lunch meeting with you, or I'll approach you. You know what I'm saying?
That's excellent point.
Do you think that that's what he was going to offer?
Yeah, I think, because why would he want to go to lunch is what I'm saying. Maybe he just wanted to say, how are you doing, you know, because of the whole, you know, the brother thing and how Howard thought it was his fault. And then Jimmy was like, yeah, it kind of was your fault, and played it off. But maybe they want to talk about his brother. But I think he wanted to maybe do a deal. He saw that he's successful and maybe do a deal. And then either way, he blew him off and he wouldn't have before, because he was so invested in trying to become a lawyer at that firm.
That's fascinating. Yeah. Okay. Let's break that down a little. I know Howard's only in like, 20 seconds of this one?
Yeah. Right.
But I think that's an interesting point raised, because even in that montage, as I love, of him going around, that's the one moment where I think the music stops and I think the camera stops and just holds on them. Beautiful cinematography with the windows, too. Do you remember the door windows? And they're just on each side.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Yeah, that's the one moment where it all comes to a halt, and usually he would kill for a meeting like that, right. Or he just wanted to be a part of that firm, brushes him off. Do you think, and I love the point raised about maybe Howard would have offered that, I think Howard's such an interesting character because he's the straight man, he's clean cut, everything. Do you think at the end of the day, he would even consider hiring a Saul Goodman just because, just for the money's sake, or do you think he has integrity over that?
I think he would.
You think
he would? I think Jimmy's brother was stopping him from a lot of that.
Now so that Chuck's gone.
So, yeah, now that
so
Chuck is gone.
So pre-Chuck, he doesn't. Post-Chuck, you say he does.
I feel like he would let him in more now because Chuck wouldn't be there to judge him or, you know, ridicule him as much. Yeah.
Ridicule Howard.
Yeah, exactly, for hiring Jimmy. And then I think that he sees how he's doing in business, and he's like, I mean, I would be willing to bring that in. But Howard also brings up the point that he says, yeah, I think this is going to be our best year yet. Why are you bringing that up? If you're not trying to prove something, like...
You're trying to sell him.
Yeah.
Well, also because Howard wanted Kim. So I think there's also that dynamic, too. Yes. That's a good point. Hey, I'm trying to impress the guy who got Kim.
That's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think of that.
Just a funny side note, I think it's interesting that, like, Howard kind of looks at Jimmy's suit like, you know, like, oh, that's an interesting, oh, you're Saul now. But, like, Howard always is on the verge of being a clown himself with his outfits. Like, it's like a conservative version, but, like, the white collar, the blue shirt, like, yeah, you're on the verge yourself, buddy. Like, don't be judging so much on his clothes. I'm just saying.
Yeah, the aesthetic's almost there.
Yeah,
that's a great point. Yeah, I love Howard so much. We've actually had him in studio before.
He's come
a few shows. That's so cool.
Great guy. I'm really curious to see if at all if there's any more tension between them throughout the whole rest of the season, because it was a brush off.
Yeah, all the chaos. Wait. All of a sudden, it just stops. Like you said, it's so interesting. And then instantly, he takes a phone call. He's like, "Yeah, I'll talk to you later," and is back to his. Yeah. Just back to the fast-paced environment. I don't know. I'm excited to see if they even, you know, go to lunch or figure something out.
Right. And we'll get to the very end with Saul a little later. But for one of our final topics, this was my favorite part of the episode, hands down. Everything with Nacho and Lalo. So back to the 50% off with the guys up top. We kind of are introduced to this little drug place where they file the drugs down a drain pipe, and that's kind of how they hand them off. And they go back. There's some kind of clog in the drain pipe. They're just not coming down. They're hitting it. It's like making a lot of noise. And cops come. Boom. And it's a bust. And they have a full load in there. And that moment when they're in the car, I think it's Lalo, Nacho, and two of the other drug dealers. They go, like, how much was in there? And they go, almost a full load.
Oh. Yeah.
And you just saw the look on Nacho's face, like, I was like, what's going to happen here? Like, is someone going to get killed for this? Like, is there going to be a punishment? But instead, Nacho took that as an opportunity to prove the trust. Thoughts on this sequence? Start with John.
It's interesting because Nacho has that moment of, this is an opportunity. Mm. What am I going to do? And then it's like, I gotta go. I gotta make this happen. And so it's of course as they always do with Breaking Bad and this, you know, to the very end, you're like, is he gonna make it? Is he gonna make it? And then of course, you know, he gets in, steals the drugs out, and you know, he proves his worth to Lalo. So well done, Nacho.
Well done.
Yeah, I like watching Lalo because he's just kind of play by play in it.
He's commentating
right in Spanish,
and he's eating. What? Like, it was entertainment? Eating? Like, is there anything? Yeah. Like, what's happening now? I'm like, oh, it's classic Lala.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, my
so,
gosh.
Yeah, it was definitely that, with him, a Jekyll and Hyde of, those are the scary characters when there's the good side and the evil side, and you're, I don't know where it is. With Fring, you know, you kind of know what his face is going to look like. But yeah, him just sitting there eating, watching the show, and then jumps back in. And then Nacho's just sweating like crazy.
Yeah.
But he's like, this is... I'm going to save my dad.
Is he going to jump on the roof? He's going to jump on the roof.
He looks like freaking Spider-Man.
Oh, my
gosh.
When he jumps, I'm like, oh, my gosh.
And he's in Spider-Man, by the way.
Wow.
He's in the new Spider-Man movie.
I didn't know that.
He's Scorpion. He's in the post-credit scene. Anyway, side note. Yeah, he's doing hard parkour.
Yeah, that's what it was.
From building to building. I didn't think he was going to make it, to be honest. I thought something was going to happen. I thought they were going to find some semblance of the drugs. And the way they edited that sequence... Holy cow. We didn't even know if he got out in time, and then just cuts to him in the car sweating like bullets.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And then you go to Lalo cooking, and we get that post.
That lunch.
I love that there was one moment when Lalo was watching it. He's like, adios, Nachito. I just started laughing. I was like, that's so Lalo. It's perfect.
Yeah. God, he's so funny.
But interesting, he's making the breakfast for the two and says, let's grab a beer. Let's sit down together. Because we always saw Nacho facing towards the door. His job was to count the money, and that was it. Now his back is to the door, and he's got a Lalo kind of there with him. So that was interesting.
And I think the key line there was all the other drug dealers were there. And he goes, all right, we're done here. And he's like, can I send him home? Your call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Like, that's trust there.
Yeah,
your call.
Yeah.
Wow. And I mean, honestly, it's so earned. Like, he risked his life, to be honest, to grab all that. It was a really high tense pressure situation. He was shocked that he even attempted to do that.
But then I love it. Like, we never get full relief, right? Because as soon as we think, okay, we're good, we're going to have a taco. Oh, by the way, the guy who's in jail... What are we going to do about him? You know, and it's like, they don't say much. He just kind of looks at him like...
You want me to take care of it?
Yeah. And then I love that he's like, no, we're good. We're going to figure this out. Oh, God.
Eat your tacos.
Oh, man. Eat the taco. Okay. All right. Yeah.
It's so good. I can't stop saying that. It's just so entertaining. Now we get this really fascinating final scene where all the deals have been made. Saul's just eating an ice cream cone.
Everything's going good. Everything, the whole episode,
chocolate chip mint is your reward.
Yeah.
He eats ice cream a lot.
He really
does.
When
he's with Kim, he's always...
Does.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's a good point.
They're making this Sunday when he's celebrating.
One could say 50% of the... No, I don't know. But, yeah, and then Nacho pulls up, and he doesn't even say anything. He's just like...
Yeah.
Can I just say he didn't let him take the ice cream? And I was like, the ice cream!
No, he made a point of like, no.
Right.
Not in my car, buddy.
I was so upset.
And that was really upset.
I love food.
It's good ice cream.
Upset.
You can't let it...
He just dropped it.
Yeah.
And I didn't even like take a big bite or anything. He was just like, okay. You gotta take a big bite, right?
He didn't want to get a brain freeze.
Gone.
Yeah. I guess he wasn't that important at that moment.
That was like upsetting.
For the ice cream.
Yeah.
For the ice cream,
that's not for Saul, right?
Right.
And that's a beautiful final shot too, with the ice cream cone just like diagonal on the sidewalk as they pull away. And it's a really awesome cliffhanger. What do you think Nacho wants? What's going on? Why did he go to Saul?
I have no idea.
Oh, I mean, I think it definitely has to do with the guy in jail, right? Like, we got to get this guy out.
Oh, yeah.
Get him out.
Yeah, get him out or get it reduced, you know what I mean? Because obviously he's in jail, so we need some lawyer tricks. We need Saul to...
So if they get him out, what do you think?
Get out the guy?
Yeah. What do you think the goal is to get after he...
Are you
if
guys
they release
talking
him?
About... Are you guys talking about Tuco?
No, not Tuco. No. The guy who got caught with the drugs.
Oh, right. Crazy 8.
Crazy 8. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm
so
sorry.
Crazy 8's in jail, and you think that Nacho wants to get him out so they can kill him?
I think the question at hand.
Okay.
What do you think?
It's a 50-50 toss, right?
Warren,
killing it.
I know.
Killing it.
Yeah, I don't know because it could go either way. You know, of course I'm thinking, wait, is Crazy 8 in Breaking Bad? Or, you know, you kind of deduce what's going to happen.
Right.
I feel like he'd be killed off. I think that's what's going to happen. I know I'm going into prediction territory, but Crazy 8 just kind of has that look of, you know, I just want to survive.
Right.
Which is perfect for I'm not going to survive.
Right. Yeah, he definitely has that look of I want to survive, especially because he'll fold.
Yeah.
As we saw, like he's not a risk taker, even though he goes, there seems to be some kind of clog, and all the drugs just come out.
That was so funny. I was cracking up.
It's a great comedic beat.
And they're like, well, I guess it's fixed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the episode, y'all. Really solid one. I like this one even more than the premiere of the season. So we're just moving into our special segment. This is Buy or Sell or Object or Sustain. This is where we break down an aspect or part of the episode that we are objecting to. Where's the merit? Or sustaining. We're saying, yeah, this is great. I can start. Just going off of, again, I love the camera work in this show. It's, Lauren has harped on it. It's just amazing. It's really simple, too. But I think the thing I want to highlight is the music. Mm. I really feel like the way that it all coalesces into something great. There are standout aspects of the filmmaking, but the music in this show that helps with the pacing is, I just think it's so understated, and you have to highlight it. It's my favorite part of this show so far for this season. I just think, like, you don't realize just a lawyer going around the hallway is so entertaining because there's, like, a good little beat with it.
Mm.
Someone running into a building and running out is entertaining because there's an awesome song to go with it. And that is the thing I am sustaining. However, I am objecting to the idea that I think that was a really clever way to earn someone's trust. However, I just don't think, I think it's a little too risky. I think he could really get himself into trouble trying to earn that trust. And it becomes a matter of looking out for yourself or trying to protect the ones you love. And I think it's a little lopsided for him right now. So I'm objecting to what I'm objecting to this trajectory he's going on. Like, he's really in trouble right now. I don't think he's safe with any decision he makes.
Hmm. Okay.
Sean.
So it's a minor point. The details kind of mess with me. So I object to the fact that they let that car with the loud music go on as long as they did. Like, when the final time those crazy druggies come and get, they got this car that's glowing green. It's blasting music. It's a beacon for the cops. So, yeah. Like, and of course, then the cops show up. So I was like, I object to that. Like, they would have shut that down. Because as soon as the cops get there, they turn it off.
Right.
And it was like, guys, you got to tell them to turn that down as soon as they pull up. Like, you know what I mean?
Entirely.
Like, you're a beacon.
You're a beacon. Yeah, that was not subtle.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, I know, you know, I know these guys are a little crazy because they're drug addicts, but I'm like, you got to run your business, so.
Mm.
But then this is also, maybe you could say, well, that shows that, you know, these are the lower level guys, and that's how it goes. Of course, that's what creates the whole problem, so. I just felt it was a little convenient.
A little convenient.
A little convenient for me.
Sure.
But what I sustain to is something that we didn't touch on at all. We didn't touch on Mike at all this episode.
Mm.
Very
tragic.
I want Mike to be my pop as well. As, you know, his granddaughter loves him. And the fact that he is officially now, as soon as she said, oh, that's, you know, that the bad guy's got daddy. And as soon as she says that, and he responds the way he does, because he's like, I have to push them away. I have to isolate them. They can't be connected to me because they will be in trouble. They will be in peril.
Right.
So that was a really nice, subtle way, because they don't linger on it too long. And he just leaves, and then we don't come back to Mike at all this episode. So
he was yelling.
Yeah, I mean, like, he was nasty.
Scary.
We've never seen him be that way with the daughter, with the granddaughter, I should say.
We rarely see him even hit that volume, you know, with anyone
on
the show.
So at first, I'm like, what's going on? And then I was like, oh, of course, Sean.
Yeah.
He's it's all on purpose.
I didn't know that. I didn't connect the dots. I just thought that it was a sensitive subject for him. And so he blew up because he contains all of his emotions. But you're right. That's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, he just kind of walks out, doesn't even talk to the mom and, like, it's...
She's in her room, won't talk, hasn't eaten dinner.
Pop-Pot would never let that happen.
Yeah.
So he's realizing what's going on. So I like that a lot.
Hmm.
Lauren.
So I'm sustaining buying Nacho, getting in good with Lalo. I think he's doing it for his father.
You think it's the right thing?
It was at that moment.
For sure.
Yeah, at that moment. So, you know, whatever we see Nacho having to go through, I think that's what he's doing. Now, what'll be interesting is if there's some point we do see something where he has a limit on what he'll do for his father. But I don't see that right now. So I believe that I'm sustaining. What was the other one?
Objecting.
Thank you. I'm objecting to Kim and Jimmy's relationship. I think Kim and Jimmy are pretty much done, and I don't think Kim and Saul are going to work at all.
Ooh.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Like that.
Objecting the relationship.
Yeah.
I'm objecting Nacho's dad getting involved with everything. It breaks my heart because that was the one thing that he said, like, I want to protect. And he even told his dad in one of the episodes, a couple episodes ago, I'm trying to get out of it. And if he died because of that reason, I feel like Nacho would completely fall apart. So I'm objecting that. I don't want to see that anymore. I want him to get in with Lalo and everything be okay as far as, you know, the family goes, his family. And then I'm sustaining, I guess, Kim and Jimmy moving into a big house. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but I would like to see it happen. I would like to see maybe a little bit of a future and moving on, you know, to the next step in their relationship and then seeing where it goes from there, but
we can hope.
Yeah.
We can totally hope. I think, I mean, it's an interesting point with bringing up Nacho's family members, because we know Gus and his group, like, don't shy away from hurting kids. They don't shy away from hurting family members.
They don't care,
like,
who you are.
Yeah, that's what makes them just so horrifying. Going into news, not a lot of news this week, but AfterBuzz TV news. Not a lot of news this week, but the big thing is, you know, we're having season 6 next year. That'll be the final season. And the other thing is that there are some really incredible articles online theorizing what's going on with Mike for the rest of the season. Some people, there's a great article on film.org. That's about how Mike's storyline might be the most tragic this season. It's shaping up to be that. So just keeping that in mind, go check it out. film.org/film.com. Just a really awesome article theorizing that. Guys, only a few minutes left. Going right into predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Let's start out with Lauren.
I had a 50-50 shot of getting picked first or second. Like that. Okay, that's my last 50-50.
I think you need to learn some math from Mike.
Four touchdowns is 28.
Yeah.
So I predict, boy, the Mike thing, I didn't even think about that. That wasn't even in my mindset. So obviously I don't think Kim and Jimmy/Saul are going to last. Whether it's a full season, it'll probably be dragged out, but, you know, at some point, I think in this season, Kim is going to be gone out of the picture.
Really?
Before the last episode.
Mm. What do you mean gone?
Oh, sorry. Let me...
What do you mean gone?
Wait.
She's moved on.
Okay. So alive and well.
Yes.
Okay. Gabby.
I think we're going to see a lot more of the Breaking Bad world, the more drug side of it. Not as much as, like, the touchy-feely relationship stuff that we saw with Saul, and that's a difference with, Jimmy and Kim, and that's the difference, I think, with Breaking Bad, too. There wasn't a lot of love with, Walt and his wife. So I think we're going to be seeing, now that he's in the car and with them, I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of the whole drug side of it and how intense it's going to be for Saul.
Yeah, it's a great prediction. And Sean?
Because now we've said we're going to take the guy out of prison, I think that it's all going to be a huge setup to test Nacho's loyalty. So we're going to get him out. It's going to be all good. And then he's going to hand him a gun. Lalo is going to hand him a gun and say, end this. I don't know. That's just where my mind went, because of this Lalo guy, you know, he might be more diabolical than Gus, I think.
I'm telling you guys, he is.
Yeah, which is why I love him.
Yeah.
Because he's so charming.
And then he'd be in a really tough situation where he has to please Gus or please Lalo, and there's just no winning.
Yeah, I think you're right in that Nacho's in a lose-lose situation.
Yeah. I'm predicting that lose-lose situation as well. Guys, thank you so much for watching our after show. This was Better Call Saul after show. Let's go around the room. Gabby, where can people find you?
You guys can find me on all platforms, Gabriella Castania, Castania.
Lauren.
I'm at Instagram, at Lauren Kling, LorenKling, and Tuesdays for Schitt's Creek.
McHugh.
At SeanStar75 on the gram, and also the Ozark After Show coming very soon.
Yes, love that show as well. And you can find me at Ryan Nilsen, R-Y-N-I-L-S-E-N. Thank you so much for watching the Better Call Saul After Show. Tune into us next Monday for more.
Right. Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.